Welcome all to the 2025 Month 10 Investable ETR Briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of October to the 31st of October 2025. Hopefully, you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the Cardet Group. Firstly, George will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. Next, Stephen will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of October and will give a refresh on the core principles Cardet was built on. We will also be looking at segments on our monthly reports and updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it with some updates on credit. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to George, who's a member of our deal desk.
Thank you, Maria. Wishing everyone a wonderful day. The deal desk is abuzz with enthusiasm as we near the year end 2025. There are numerous initiatives underway, and we are diligently working towards a successful completion of the year. We are currently in discussions with a shipping company based in Singapore. This company operates as an affiliated company within a larger maritime group and benefits from the full technical and operational infrastructure of its parent organization. The parent group positions itself as a comprehensive ship management provider, delivering service that include vessel safety and regulatory compliance, technical management, dry docking, repairs, crew management, training, and digital ERP solutions. The foundation enables the affiliated shipping company to present a reliable and well-supported offering to their charterers, cargo owners, and financial institutions. For organizations involved in trade finance and commodity flows, this structure is particularly valuable. The operational reliability, safety culture, crew competency, and maintenance standards emphasized by the wider group help to mitigate key shipping-related risks that can impact financed cargo movements. Although the affiliated company has a lower public profile than its parent, its positioning within the wider organization means that vessels and operations under its banner are backed by a rigorous compliance environment, aligned with the industry regulations and international standards, supported by trained crews and continuous technical oversight. For financiers and supply chain stakeholders, this translates into reduced uncertainty around vessel availability, downtime, regulatory incidents, insurance exposure, and factors that directly influence delivery reliability and risk in commodity transactions. Going forward, this affiliated ship entity presents a strategic opportunity for partners who require dependable maritime execution to support structured trade finance deals. Its association with a well-established parent organization can be leveraged not only for operational assurance, but also to strengthen ESG-aligned shipping credentials, enhance reporting transparency through digital fleet management tools, and enable shipping risk-sharing mechanisms through improved charter party terms. In summary, this structure offers the characteristics of a shipping partner that aligns well with secure, well-managed, and professionally executed commodity trade finance operations. The current deal that we're discussing with them involves the purchase of an LPG tanker. This vessel will be used to transport liquefied petroleum gas in Caribbean waters. We are also speaking to a company in South Africa that operates in the diamond trading industry and has recently begun focusing on chrome ore. This company has played a strategic role in linking upstream diamond sources with international downstream buyers. The organization has traded in both rough and polished stones and is positioned to manage the full value chain from sourcing raw material to delivering finished stones suitable for jewelry and investment markets. Its business model provides access to inventory diversity and enables financing structures that can support either the procurement of rough stones the value add polishing stage, or the sale and distribution of polished goods, operational responsiveness and clear shipping and packaging processes further support confidence when assessing logistics and fulfillment risk. The current deal that we're talking to them about involves the purchase of chrome ore from a mine in South Africa to then be sold to a local buyer. For trade finance purposes, this type of business presents several attractive attributes, including high-value goods with a relatively small physical footprint, multi-stage financing opportunities, and the potential to align with modern traceability and ESG requirements. However, due diligence remains critical in this sector, particularly regarding provenance, regulatory compliance, valuation accuracy, insurance, security during transit, and liquidity in secondary markets for polished stones. With appropriate controls in place, such as verified chain of custody documents, independent grading and valuation processes, ensured logistics, and clearly defined exit strategies, this organization could form a strong partner for structured trade finance transactions. And a means to diversify exposure beyond traditional bulk commodities. So thank you for listening, everybody. Our conversations are highly appreciated, and I will now pass things to Stephen.
Thanks for that, George. It's always great to hear about the opportunities you and DealDesk are working on. So for this month's Trade Desk presentation, we'll be focusing on an originator who specializes in vessel chartering. The company is a family-owned business with over 30 years of experience, building a strong relationships, delivering vessels to international partners. They currently operate across the globe with a presence in the Gulf States, West Africa, and India, providing offshore services to energy producers in the oil and gas sector. Since joining the exchange in 2021, they've availed of more than $37 million worth of AHR asset finance through Credet's sale and leaseback model, where we have helped refinance 14 of their vessels over the last number of years. At present, we currently hold two of their vessels on our asset registry, with one of these acquired as recently as last month. To recap this finance model, an originator transfers full legal ownership of their vessel to Credet. We then lease the vessel back to the originator at an agreed rate, enabling our client to retain operational control while allowing them unlock working capital, which in turn supports and grows their business. As you can understand, acquiring a vessel is a complex process which requires Credet's in-house expertise and the knowledge of our legal partners. Our Greek-based lawyers assist in this regard, drafting sales documents and overseeing the transfer of ownership while managing the vessel registry with the flag state. We also ensure that the assignment of all future hire income is directed to Credet's bank account, achieved by the charter party's acceptance of our notice of assignment document. Once all these requirements have been met, a virtual close meeting is held where the legal documents are formally confirmed and executed by all parties involved before any investable funds are released. In the case of the vessel recently purchased, it had an initial fair market value of $16 million, classified as a purpose-built anchor handling tug supply vessel with an overall length of 89 meters and a bollard pull strength of 246 tons. These specifications make it a highly versatile and sought-after vessel, currently located off the coast of Port Harcourt, Nigeria, where it's currently employed. During the preliminary stages of approving this facility, we ensured that there were no unrepaired damages, liens, or encumbrances. Following our due diligence, we then adjusted the asset value from the initial fair market value to a more conservative valuation of €10.7 million. We then applied a purchase to value PTV ratio of 50%, determining Credit's A to your asset value as €5.4 million, which was subsequently advanced under the sale and leaseback facility, minus the arrangement fee and any other applicable costs. It also represented the purchase price on the bill of sale, formally transferring ownership to Credet, with repayments structured under the Berkon lease agreement over a term of 30 months. Apart from the standard lease income, Credet chooses to partner with experienced vessel operators, which allows us to participate in any uplift or profit realised from subsequent sales. For this facility, we agreed with the originator that should the vessel be sold prior to the end of the term for a value greater than the original face value, an exit commission of 50% on the profit of the sale will be payable to Credet plus any legal costs incurred. This approach not only strengthens Credet's position in shipping finance, but also enhances returns for our investors. Credet generates revenue not only through leasing and ownership, but also through strategic partnerships, capitalizing on opportunities that may present themselves through a profit-sharing component, while maintaining security in asset-backed investments. Hope you found this presentation informative. I will now pass you to Maria, who's going to discuss key global factors along with Credet's recent trading figures.
Thank you, Stephen. As always, it's interesting to hear about originator companies on the exchange and the various trades that we're working on. So as we've stated before, Credet will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that October started off at 2,027. The index fluctuated throughout the month, reaching 2,150 at its highest, before slowly decreasing towards the end of the month to end October at a figure of 1,968. The Baltic Index was recorded at 2,401 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy and factor in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. Moving to global news, we see that Eurozone manufacturing stagnated in October as new orders fell, despite production continuing to edge higher for an eighth consecutive month. The final HZOB Eurozone PMI, compiled by S&P Global, registered 50.0 in October, slightly up from September's 49.8, but still on the threshold separating growth from contraction. Greece and Spain recorded the strongest improvements, with respective PMI readings of 53.5 and 52.1. In contrast, Germany and France, the bloc's largest economies, remained in contraction territory at 49.6 and 48.8, respectively. The seasonally adjusted unemployment rate in the Eurozone remained at 6.3%, unchanged from September 2025. Enjoying a rare period of low inflation, the European Central Bank left interest rates on hold last week for the third meeting in a row. Looking at the UK, UK business activity growth slowed to a very modest pace in November, at 50.5, down from 52.2 in October. The PMI output index was the second lowest seen over the past 6 months. The PMI is broadly consistent, with GDP stalling in November and having grown at a 0.1% quarterly pace. The UK inflation rate fell to 3.6% in October, but food prices rose again following a dip in September. In the recent budget, Chancellor Rachel Reeves announced a set of tax increases on Wednesday as she sought to strengthen the country's public finances in the face of a challenging economic outlook. The UK government plans to raise taxes by nearly £26 billion by 2030, mostly via policies related to personal income tax. The need to raise taxes again came in response to forecasts showing slower economic growth, as well as a push for more welfare spending and commitment on lowering debt. Moving to the US, consumer confidence in the United States declined in November as households worried about jobs and their financial situation, likely in part because of the recently ended government shutdown. The conference board said on Tuesday, its consumer confidence index dropped to 88.7 this month from an upwardly revised 95.5 in October, hitting its lowest level since April. In more positive news, the U.S. labor market appears to be in a low-hire-low-fire phase, keeping unemployment historically low but slowing the pace at which job seekers find work. The number of Americans filing new applications for unemployment benefits also fell, pointing to still low layoffs, with the labor market struggling to generate enough jobs amid lingering economic uncertainty. U.S. stocks extended their Thanksgiving week rebound on Wednesday, with all three major indices logging a fourth straight gain ahead of the holiday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 84 points, the S&P 500 climbed roughly 0.4%, and the Nasdaq Composite gained around 0.6% according to early figures. Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 74.47 million euro, with 62.02 million euro fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index is 67, with a trading figure for the month recorded at 8.34 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Credit control collections this month amounted to 4.81 million euro, with the exchange's performance once again continuing to jump ahead of all prior years. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from EKFB, Simpor UK, Atradius, and Skanska Costain. At the top of the list, similar to last month's briefing, is construction debtor EKFB. Simpor UK is also back near the top, with the HSC and Wernick buildings moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graphs show the wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, construction, manufacturing, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones as well as new debtors being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with Atradius representing this sector. Construction was our second largest in performance this month, followed by hospitality in our largest holdings for October. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that for month 10 of 2025, trading totaled 8.36 million euro, which is circa 34.42% lower than the 12.74 million euro recorded in month 10 of 2024. Volumes increased for this month as the value to volume ratio also increased again, in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions increased to 1.65 million euro, with the credit index at 67 for October. Finally, the construction sector registered the largest trade this month at 1.18 million euro. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started at 2.051%. The rate increased, reaching a high of 2.064% in the first half of month 10, before remaining steady through the middle of the month. The rate dipped towards the end of month 10, ending at 2.033%, with potential for November's rates to ease and remain steady. As you all know from previous months, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 3.00%, fixed at 3.75% for 12 months, and term at 12% at the end of 36 months. This section shows that demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 74.47 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for October 2025. Thank you.